This 4-6 generator that you are about to meet has the most beautiful human design in that her G center, her heart center, is completely lit up. Meg's one of her favorite sayings is, "I love love," and she actually loves love by design. Meg's is a 4-6 generator, and she is a graduate of, I think, the beta round of Content by Design was the round that she did. She's actually here to talk to us today about AI. So Meg's passion, her love, her gift, bringing ancient wisdom into our everyday modern life. And we all know that that's no easy task. It seems like there are a bazillion things on our to-do list every day, and it can be really hard to connect back into our own souls. Meg's business is Gentle Ember. She helps women to reconnect with their bodies and the rhythms of the earth. She considers herself an integrative self-healing guide and a ceremonialist. And in this episode, we talk a little bit about some of the really radical ceremonies that Meg's has done. It's fascinating. Follow along on her social media. She shares it at the end and it's in the show notes. Just fascinating to see this young woman who has navigated challenges like neurodiversity, PMDD, which is a menstrual, I was going to say disorder. I'm not sure that it, I think it's a disorder, but it's really a steep path to walk, and also sobriety at a very young age. And this is the point in Meg's journey where I came on board with her and got to know her through her sobriety journey. And as a very young soul walking this path, she has done great things and she will continue to do great things in the world. So in this interview, Meg's walks us through, and I'm laughing because I think we kind of all have felt the same at one time or another, her absolute terror when AI first came on the scenes about us being taken over by robots, and where she's at now with it, trying to find a middle ground, using it for her businesses, her finances, and even for helping with her PMDD meal planning. So this is another juicy episode on conscious creation in the age of AI for you.
Welcome in, Megs. It is so good to get to see you again.
Thank you. It's so good to be here and so great to connect again, especially on this topic I'm really excited about today.
Yeah. So first things first, we're going to talk a little bit about your business, but I also want to talk a little bit about your design. And I'm a little rusty because it's been a while. I think you were one of the first CBD students. Mm-hmm. So 4-6? That's yes. Okay. So 4-6 generator.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fully lit up G, correct? Yeah. All about love. Love, yeah. love. Yes. Yes. So what do you do now? What's your business now?
So I'm an integrative life coach with a focus on mind, body, and energy. So I help women come back to their bodies, kind of work through subconscious limiting beliefs, fear, rage, all the big things that are stored in our bodies that we're not sure are there. I help women integrate all of that, make peace with all of that, learn to love these parts of themselves that maybe society has told us are too much, or we need to keep quiet or down. Like, it's bringing all of you to the table. And yes, so I use a variety of ancient tools for modern women to help us explore what's stored in our body, come back into self devotional practices, Kundalini yoga, EFT, various neurosomatic exercises that look at not only what's happening in the mind, but what's happening in the body, and kind of bridging that. And then looking at the energy too, because I think a lot of what we're seeing in the world symptom wise is actually energetic stuff that's happening in people's bodies.
You were the first real live person that I knew who did a rage circle.
Yeah.
One of my friends went to one like years ago, and I remember her husband saying, "Why would you need to go and scream?" Like, only a man would ask that question.
Literally.
Yeah. So you do rage circles. I've seen you be buried.
Yes.
That freaks me out a little bit.
Being buried. About once a year, I do a burial ceremony for myself just to lay to rest all the parts that are no longer in alignment. I think as women, especially, we go through these continuous death and rebirth cycles. And when we try to hold on to who we are and what we've become comfortable with, that's not really serving. When we can just let go and be like, oh, this part of me really wants to die right now. Like, great, let's lay in the earth and be held by our great mother. And there's something about just like bringing dirt over top of you and just that weight of like being held, that it's unlike anything I've ever experienced. But I've also had this like deep fascination from a very young age with the idea of death and rebirth and like, where do we go afterwards? And not in like a dark way, but just this curiosity. So to be able to give myself that, I'm like, oh yeah, my inner child loves this.
So interesting. So that might be a good bridge into AI. Have you asked AI what happens after we're gone by chance?
No, I haven't actually that. I don't know. I feel like I have my own, like I'm so clear now on what I believe that from a young age, again, I've always had this big fear of like the robots coming and taking over. I don't know if it was like Terminator or something, but I've always just been like, nope. Like, I do not want to be around if that's the path that we go down. And so just being present and witnessing where the world is going these past few years, like it was deeply triggering at first because I'm like, ah, fuck, the robots, they're coming. We're feeding them with our energy and our essence and all of this. And so I swore I would never, ever use AI back in 2020, 2021, 2022. I was like, never will I ever. And I've definitely softened on that since. Because I don't know, as humans, I think we're in this society and this stage we're at, we're being asked to output so much more than like our human bodies are capable of. Mm-hmm. And I don't like to keep up with the rat race or anything like that, but to be a business owner in this economy, like you got to show up, you got to do the things, you got to make the posts, you got to use your voice. And so I think AI can be used to help us in that capacity to repurpose things and help us in that regard. And I'm also very conscious of like, okay, I don't want to give away my power or give away my sovereign thought or my curiosity or my all of these things that like I believe as humans, these serve us. Like we're supposed to be curious. We're supposed to question things. We're supposed to have our own creative process that comes from within our hearts and our bodies, not through a robot in a computer.
So what kinds of things do you use AI for in your business?
I've used it to help me, like, I like to write a lot of my own just like things, and I'll have an idea of like, oh, this would make like a really great series of content. And so I'll take my writing and put it into AI and say like, hey, as my social media manager, keep this 95% my own voice and my own tone and help me expand this across these platforms and repurpose it into like more than what it is. Mm-hmm. And so it's still myself, my voice, my message, my tone, but it's helping me. My brain works in like ADHD brains, attention dialed into higher dimensions, I like to call it. And so to do the strategy and all the business and the logic things, it's challenging sometimes. And so I'll use it to like increase my output in that way, but still keep it like my own tone and my own essence. Mm-hmm. And I've found it really helpful for a lot of things kind of outside of the business, but that were taking up a lot of space in my brain. When I can use AI for those certain things, I find I have more capacity to be in my creativity, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. So what kinds of things are they?
So for example, I found out probably 5 years ago about PMDD, premenstrual dysphoric disorder. And so it's related to our menstrual cycles, and it's basically PMS on steroids, like rage, dark thoughts, low energy, cravings, mood swings, all these different things. And unfortunately, our medical system likes to just treat everything with a pill. And that doesn't fall in line with my values. So I've tried to understand, like, how could I eat to, like, really nourish my body through the four phases of my cycle? Like, what would that look like? Seed cycling? How much protein should I be eating? Tell me about my hormones. How is this various food affecting my hormones? So I've kind of used it as, like, my own nutritionalist guide or stuff like that. And then it comes up with, like, I've learned so much just about hormones and the female body and our cycles. And you need to train it sometimes too, because at first it would just spit out things that I had kind of been told by the medical industry. And I'm like, no, this is the value system we believe in. Like, let's go natural. Let's go holistic. Like, let's bring this into it. But it's gotten to the point where it can make like a shopping list and like meal preps. And so you're not sitting there like, my brain doesn't do good with like the logistics of all of these things sometimes. Mm-hmm. So when it can just pull up like a shopping list for 4 weeks and like all the batch cooking and all of these things, I'm like, great. I don't have to sit there spinning my wheels trying to figure this out. I can now be in my creative process, or I can be doing the things on my computer from a nourished place, knowing that I'm fueling my body in a way that like feels good for me.
Mm-hmm. What I want is ChatGPT to actually cook the meals for me. Go to the grocery store, get the stuff, bring it home, cook it. Yeah, that's the next step, I'm afraid. Yeah. But that I would welcome with open arms. Come on in. Yeah.
But then do we have robots in our houses? Like, I don't know. That's part of my fear. I'm like, what if it gets pissed off at you one day? And like, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. The cooking for me thing is a big draw, though.
That would be like, yeah, a game changer.
Yeah.
Let's hold that vision.
So what kinds of things did you program it with for your hormones?
I just told it about my cycle. And like with PMDD, I figured out at what times of the month my estrogen or progesterone levels fluctuate. And I've just shared like my symptoms, what I'm moving through. And yeah, I've also shared like, these are the herbs that I use. And these are like, I'll put in there, this is what I'm currently doing. Help me strengthen this. Or what am I missing? It's really great too. I've asked it like, this is what I see this situation to be like. And then from the lens of this, like, what might I be missing? I did that with my human design, actually, a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause I think you said you put in your human design, your astrology, and maybe something else. Did I miss something?
I think those are the main ones. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
And then how does it help you with those?
Well, I'd say like, based on my conditioning, my conditioning as a generator, and I don't know, some of like what I know my limiting beliefs to be, or what I know some of my fears are, like, what might I not be seeing in regards to this opportunity or this offer that I'm creating? Mm. Where are my blind spots? Where, just like from the lens of a financial advisor, like, what might I be missing? Because we all know numbers in this brain are not real, but they matter in this world. So it can help us in those places I've found where it's maybe not my strength, but it's like a necessary thing. Mm-hmm.
And so when you're pulling your human design, your astrology, and are you using that for content creation specifically? Have you done that?
From the Content by Design course, I learned all about from Mercury, for example, like where that's in the human design, how you can be talking to your audience better. And so I've definitely pulled some of those things through and said, based on this being here, how can I improve my messaging so that it lands with this type of person? Or this is what I'm saying to these people, like, what am I missing? Or what might I not be seeing? Or what do they need from me? Like, just little things like that.
Yeah, I love that. And you were talking about something about putting it all into ChatGPT and keeping it 95% of your voice. And my question was like, Meg, do you still have 12 posts in every one post? Does ChatGPT have to say to you, you've got too much here?
Probably, yeah. Yeah, it's still, because I'm still like, I can see there's the conciseness is like,
well, I noticed you said, I put this in for a series, and I'm like, oh, right on. She's now using it as a series because you had so much content pouring out of you all of the time.
Yeah.
So I think ChatGPT sometimes can be used to kind of rein us in. I'm same. I have all this stuff coming out of me all the time. It's like, I need to kind of
like simplify
slow my
it.
roll.
Because I still, I'll write a piece of work and I'm like, read it like Mickey would. Oh, wait, there's 15 posts in here, not one.
It's a gift, really.
It is. And I see it now because what I thought was like, oh, I'm just going to make this one piece of content. Now I have to sit there and like generate more and more and more. I'm like, no, girl, like you've got it here. You just need to simplify it and spread it out a little bit.
Yeah. And I feel like AI is great for that. Great for being able to pull out how much do I really have here and help me to tone it down a little bit. So can you tell me, you mentioned a couple of times, you've mentioned your creative process. And I know that you are highly creative, highly in touch with the feminine, with your body, somatic work, all of the things. What does your creative process look like?
So I have incorporated this year, and it's something I did in the past, and then I set it down and I had this deep knowing inside. I was like, go back to your daily sadhana practice, go back to it. But I just went back to it on the spring equinox. And so a sadhana is, it's your daily devotional practice, your connection to self, your connection to source. And I realized that that is the most important thing we have here. And so actually for 40 days in March, I woke up at 3:30 in the morning and did 2.5 hours of Kundalini yoga, chanting, mantras, journaling for 40 days. And the 3:30 in the morning part, it's scientifically proven that that early in the morning when the sun is like 60 degrees from the earth, that you're most able to reprogram your subconscious mind. And so there's actually like a reason to getting up at that time, getting up when the sun rises. And so through that process, I was able to, Kundalini yoga, first of all, is like, if you're unclear or you're stuck or you're feeling any sort of way, Kundalini yoga will clear through all the shit and reset. And it's magic. It's also deeply rooted in like science and things like that. That's just not where my brain like goes. Yeah. I care more about like, I've felt it so many times.
Harder than it looks.
Yeah.
Like, holy cow.
Yeah. I was
really
like
hard.
Up in the air for like 15 minutes a day and like, holy, the shoulder strength that I've developed. I'm like, ooh, I feel so strong now.
Yeah.
But it's mental strength more than anything. Like through that process, I saw where I was playing small, where I was holding myself back, my self-sabotage, and just showing up for yourself in that way every day, it changes you. Like you see your own shit so clearly. And I just got to sit with it at 3:30 in the morning when everything is silent, just sitting with yourself and your thoughts and writing out things. Like, it was so deeply healing. And I've done this work for 4 years consistently. So I was like, oh, this will be so easy. There's nothing here, but like, there's always more. It's a spiral that never ends. Like, there's no, I'm going to get to this point of being healed. Like, no, that's not the point. We're just going to get to know ourselves on a deeper level, deeper and deeper and deeper into the body. And my daily practice has also evolved to like hands-on touch. I think as women, we need to be bringing our hands to our bodies and feeling our tissues and feeling what is being stored in our bodies. So many women I know, myself included, have moved through like seasons of self-loathing and seasons of you look at yourself in the mirror and you hate what you see. Disconnecting ourselves from our bodies like doesn't heal that. We need to come into ourselves and sit with the uncomfortableness of, I fucking hate this right now. Okay, let's just be in that and like allow that to be okay. So through this like self-touch practice as well, I found all this stored grief that was like in my breasts. And one of my teachers, Jasmine Rose, says that our breasts are the guardians of our heart. And if we look at even in the world, so many women are going for mammograms and going and getting all of these things done where they're literally like squishing our boobs in these machines and like fear mongering about cancer. Like, all we're just massaging our breasts every day. And like it changes the shape of them. Like you really feel where you're holding on to things that like you didn't know were there. So I really dream of this world where women and girls are like inspired to connect with themselves without this lens of like shame. Like, when did it become shameful to touch our bodies and to hold ourselves and to be with ourselves? So yeah, I think I went off on a tangent there, but my morning practice now includes like self-touch, like really checking in with the body, seeing what's there, journaling. I try as often as I can to do the morning pages because I see how important that is. Just like writing all the noise that's in your brain and like not having to, I think so often we put all this pressure on ourselves too, that like when we create, it has to be for a purpose. We have to be selling something or doing something. But it's like, what if you just created whatever wanted to flow through you in this moment and just be with that? So it's different every day, and it involves movement and dance and stuff too, and like weird stuff, like we have.
I would
to,
expect no less.
Yeah, right. But just like, I don't know, just like shaking and like sticking your tongue out and like feeling like when there's grief or there's rage coming up, like not stuffing it down, like finding a quiet, safe space, like smash some pillows together and like have a fucking temper tantrum and cry and scream and then give yourself a big hug after and be like, yeah, I'm here for you. I see you, girl. There's been a lot of reparenting happening through the the daily devotional practice too.
So I don't know if you have or not, but using AI for any of these things, do you see how someone could use AI for maybe coming up with a routine or helping them to? Because I think sometimes we think of AI as it's going to steal the creativity. But how can we use it to actually pull that creativity out of us or maybe develop, I don't know, a routine at something?
Yeah. And I think it can. And I've been like, hey, this is, what are some ideas to help me process my rage or just like getting new ideas? And it'll give you a whole list of like all kinds of things. And I think what's most important is that we stay connected to our discernment. And so when it's giving us an output of something, like read it and like put it in your body, like feel it and feel like what is true in all of that and like resonant to you and what's like, no, that doesn't align for me. And just like trusting ourselves rather than like, oh, the computer said I need to do it this way, so I need to force myself into doing it this way now.
So how did you get from being afraid the robots are going to take over to using it to help you with your premenstrual stuff, with your meal planning, with your finances, using it for posts in your business? How did you go from one extreme? You're not really the other extreme, though. I know you said you see other extremes with it, but you're kind of in the middle ground now, I would say.
Yeah.
What changed?
Honestly, I think I changed a little bit. I've noticed on my journey, anytime I'm like hard on something, like deeply triggered by it and like, no, I'm like, wait, there's probably a little bit of something in there for me. And so just being with the fear too of like, okay, yeah, this could go down the path of like Terminator, the robots, like they, but is that likely right now? No. And then I was also fearing something that I had never actually tried before. And so I was like, I can sit over here and have all these judgments and these perceptions on what it is and what it isn't. But until I actually like experience it for myself, I'll never know. And I think talking with Andrea, like way back in the day too, like, cause I really respect and value her opinion on these things too. And then I heard that she was using it in ways that were supportive of the business and we're very aligned on our values and views of the world. So I was like, well, if Andrea thinks that there's a little bit of safety in it, then it must be a little bit safe. So I was like,
Let me just bring our listeners up to speed here on who Andrea is. So Andrea is, my oldest daughter. She's an OBM, online business manager. She's the community manager in Content by Design and works a lot with clients who are using AI, and she's using AI for her clients, just so that our listeners know who she is. And yeah, she has a pretty good head on her shoulders about this stuff.
Yeah. So as soon as I, because she's also told me in the past, like, protect your passwords and like all the like stuff on the internet. So I'm like, I very much value her opinion. And she's like, well, maybe it's not actually that bad. I was like, oh, okay, let's try
it. Time to take a look. Yeah. And I can't remember where, but I remember gate 15 being a theme in your design. I can't remember if it was because of the placement or because it repeats, but I remember you having a lot of conditioning around extremes. And tend to be someone who goes to extremes, but that's how you're designed.
Yeah.
Me too.
I find groundedness in the extremes.
Yes. Yeah. Mine is my unconscious Mars and my conscious Mercury, I believe. I should know my own chart. But yeah, it's a theme. And it really is a thing when you see things and you have such a visceral reaction and you are drawn to such extremes in rhythms and in patterns and in all of the things. So yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
It doesn't surprise me that you went extreme.
Right. It's just the way.
Yeah. It's just the way. Yeah. So what do you see though? You're seeing other people using AI in ways that in your most non-judgmental self, but you have concerns.
Yeah. I'm a little bit concerned with some of what I see and I can feel it in my body. Like I know that there's people out there who maybe can't afford a therapist or can't afford certain things. So people are taking their deepest, darkest things to ChatGPT and like, help me with this. And I get it. And on some other level too, I'm like, oh, you're not talking to a person. Like you could have heart-centered connection with a real person. And like, I feel everything so deeply. And because my G center is so lit up, like I feel love of humanity and people. And I'm like, there's nothing better than genuine, authentic, real human connection. Mm-hmm. And I value that so much more than anything. And I've even had experiences with people in situations that feel a little bit elevated or heated, or there's an element of conflict. And I really believe that conflict can bring people into deeper understanding, to deeper connection when it's handled in a way that's respectful and like gentle. And I've had situations with people where I've shared my genuine heart and I'm met with this response that when I'm reading it, I'm like, oh, it's so perfect. Like, ew, there's the pit of my stomach where I'm like, this isn't genuine. This isn't true. This isn't their voice. This is coming from a robot.
Yeah.
And at that point, I'm like, well, I'm not going to engage with a robot because again, that goes against my value systems. So I'm saddened in a way for humanity in the sense that people think that talking to the robot in the computer is on the same level as talking to a human with a beating heart.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the piece that concerns me a little bit. And when you look at social media too, I'm like, oh, we're all just saying the same thing in different. Yeah. It's all just a regurgitation of, you know, I'm like, where's the trueness? Where's the realness? Where are the people? I want to feel people's hearts.
Mm-hmm. And I think that you are not alone in that. I think that over the next little while, and I could become the village idiot for having these types of conversations over time, you know, as time goes on. But I really think more and more people will crave those soul connections and people will really, I think that more and more people will crave those soul to soul connections and that they will, it's going to become easier and easier to differentiate what's real for those of us that are in tune. And I've heard a lot of guests on this series say, I feel it in my body. When I engage with this type of content, when I engage with this type of work, with this type of voice, I have a visceral reaction to it. Or I don't feel anything. I know that it's not anything. And I really think we're going to see that separation of the truth and the, and I'm not saying that we can't all use AI. I think this is an interesting time to be alive. I think that this is an interesting time to dance with technology. My last guest who I just interviewed right before this was such a great conversation because she is so excited and she's not concerned at all. And she's all over it. And I'm like, I want to get there, But right now I'm still over here in the camp of, I don't know. I don't know.
I feel you. And I also feel so deeply for our planet, our mother, our great mother, the Earth, in this time. And my values are just so deeply rooted in nature. Like, I believe that plants are the original medicine and that we weren't here to just be these output machines of productivity for money and resources. I'm like, you guys, we fucking lost the point, like, so hard, but yeah. That's okay. Like you said, our souls like wanted to be here at this time. But even just looking at the environmental impact of the AI. Mm-hmm. And we know that there are these rooms, these server rooms that need to be cooled at such a high capacity to keep up with all of the output. And we're living in a time where everyone's really concerned about climate change and carbon tax and all of these things. Yet we're looking at gas vehicles and cows, but we're not looking at like the great things that are, you know, burning up our planet. So I can't help but be like, I ponder and I try my dang hardest to stay in a non-judgmental state, but I also have a big shadow of judgment in my human design too.
Yes.
So I'm like, okay, like, so, and that's also what I consider when I'm using it too. I'm like, use it intentionally because it is making an impact on our planet. And like, if she gets pissed off at us, like,
I don't know how she's not pissed off at us, to be honest with you. Yeah. I had no idea about the environmental impact before I started doing this series. And one of my guests was talking about it and I was like, wow. But I mean, I'm same as you. Like, why are we talking about cows? Again, I may sound like the village idiot to some people, but why, you know, when we've got people flying around in private jets and literally all of the things, like,
100%.
So freaking crazy. The divide, I don't even know what to call it anymore, but
literally being lied to. Like, I'm sorry, but that's the realization that I've come to. I'm like, everything we're being told is a lie.
Yeah.
Use our discernment and let's unlearn because that's the new way.
Yeah. Yeah. And I love how you said like to come back to nature. Like we seem to, we've gotten into this rat race. We've gotten, especially as entrepreneurs, it can be very, very, especially as generator types who are entrepreneurs, very, very easy to just keep going and going and going and going and going and going and going. And we forget to come back to our own discernment. We forget to come back to our body. We forget to come back to the earth. We forget that it's really not a rat race. It's to serve. I hate that word, but to serve is the goal of our businesses.
Yeah.
Most of us. So how can we do that and still stay connected with our soul and with each other and use this tool as an actual tool?
Yeah.
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 That's the great mystery right now.
Yes.
2025.
Oh my goodness. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, any parting thoughts on AI, Megs?
I really just pray that people can continue to stay in their discernment and stay in their open hearts.
Mm.
And AI is not going to bring you closer to your heart. Like, that's on you. Mm. And so, yeah, use it intentionally, use it with discernment, and don't give everything to it. You know, keep some for yourself. Like, go put your bare feet on the earth and just take some deep breaths and like be.
Where can people find you?
On Instagram at Meg Dole. On Facebook, Megan Dolan. And I'm currently working on starting a YouTube channel.
Nice.
For guided meditation. So that's something to look forward to in the future. But those are the places for right now.
Okay. I'll link those up in the show notes so that folks can go in and find you too. There's really neat things that Megs does on her socials. Like when you see her being buried alive or doing a rage ceremony or womb healings or Reiki, it's just really neat to follow along and see you using your tools. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. Everyone's like niche down and I'm like, I will not be put in a box. So here we are.
Here we are. And you're doing okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, thank you for being here, Meg.
Thank you for having me, Vicky. I appreciate you so much.